Nicole.
My name is Nicole Milner, KPFA area. Two small comments. One is that I would have liked it if this meeting had been in closer to the station. I think a lot more people would have come to it. And also I'd like to support Pete's suggestions to bring up our technology to this time. I think it'll have an immense beneficial impact on Pacifica's distribution.
Thank you very much, Nicole. In the remainder of your time, I just want to say about the move, because a number of people have brought it up. The staff found out late and had not realized that the hotel that we've used traditionally, I don't know whether it's no longer Union or it wasn't before, with the amount of time they had a restricted pool of options. They tried to find something that was near to public transportation and was a Union shop. And the person who did this has done more, and yes, we've been told repeatedly also that, that cost is an issue, and that they don't want these board meetings to be too expensive. The person who did this is one of the hardest working people in the foundation, and has consistently at our meetings gone out of her way day and night to save money everywhere we could. At the New York meeting, she was taking orders from board members and going across the street for takeout to save us money. So I understand and I regret what happened, but I hope you can also understand the level of good faith efforts to meet the needs of being at a Union shop and being close to public transportation and all the effort that these folks have put out. In the future, we hope that and expect that this won't happen again. The next person is Mara Rivera. Mara, would you like to speak now or can you easily wait?
I need 2 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're willing to wait till afterwards. We'll bribe you with more time. Steve Zeltzer.
Yeah, I'm Steve Zeltzer. I'm with the KPFA Labor Collective here at Berkeley. I'm excited about the possibilities of podcasting and reaching out to workers in this country. And as I talked to Peter yesterday, it would be very important to have a portal, a labor portal for Pacifica, where all the labor programming from around the country could be brought together. And we could get unions to put that on their website to link to the labor programming of Pacifica. That would be an important step towards building a working class audience for Pacifica. And we see that as really critical if we're going to change the dynamics of loss of listenership. I mean, we have to make Pacifica a more relevant network and have programming for working people. And we also wanted to have like labor programs, and we did a program last October on labor in the elections, a statewide program with KPFK, and got a tremendous response to it. It was the only labor program on labor in the elections in California, and we were able to have debate, discussion, call-ins of working people about what is the position of unions, how the elections would affect working people. We need to have more of that kind of national programming and to try to develop an audience who look to KPFA to get these issues addressed, because they're not being addressed in the mainstream media. Those kind of programs are not on the other stations, and Pacifica can do that. The last point I want to make is, unfortunately, there's a problem of democratic process at KPFA, which other people have alluded to. I'm not going to shout and yell, but we believe there needs to be transparency. Our collective was banned from programming, and our total number of shows last year was 7 hours, and I'm being prevented from running as a listener. So we've got a serious problem, a dysfunctional problem that has to change and to be resolved. Thank you.
Maxine, do you want to do it now or can you wait till after? You can wait till after? Thank you. Steve, what's your pleasure? I think I'm within my bounds in saying there are people here who cannot wait to hear you, but they will anyway. Richard, continue. What, you're cool to wait? Stan? You're cool? Bob, English? You can wait. Linda Hewitt? Okay, Brian Shirtsuki?
Can we wait
Hi, I'm Brian, and I sit on the KPFA Program Council as a community representative. And I wanted to talk to you about Informativo Pacifica. And I think it's a great idea. I think there's about 10% of the people in our signal area aren't served because they don't understand what we're saying because English isn't even their second language. But I would like to ask you guys if you could slow down a little bit, even though it feels like you're not moving too quickly. I think that I'm sort of surprised that this proposal got past the board. The questions I would have asked are, what size audience does a half-hour stranded Spanish language talk program draw at 5:30 in the morning? I think you could look at the Arbitrons to try and figure that out. If it gets more than 600 or so, you should be able to pick that up. And the other grave thing missing was when you try and grow your audience like that, or when you try and extend your reach to a community that you're not reaching at all, you need to have a plan to promote your program. And when I looked at this proposal that I got, it was dated February 18th in a draft, but that's the best I could get. There was nothing in there about a plan on how to promote this program. And this is something that came from a program director at a 112 kilowatt station in the number 2 metro, and I don't understand why he did not put a promotion plan in there. Thank you.
I suspect there's a board member or two who will respond to that later in the evening. Ivan.
I can wait.
Thank you very much. Surya Sayali, I apologize. Surai, I apologize for butchering your name.
Hi, that's okay. Thank you. Suraya.
Suraya.
I am a part of, I'm not going to shout, but the things I'm going to talk about is always not comfortable. For a past year, dealing with the same issue over and over, every Saturday I go to the LSB meeting. I'm a council of unpaid staff, elected a year ago. There's lots of non-responsibility and discrimination and biased treatment of different people and different programmers, and there is no management at KPFA. The elections and memberships are rigged. People are banned from, I'm part of Voices of Middle East and North Africa, which was evaluated wrongfully. They put in a pretext of they're going to have democracy. 2 years ago, remember you guys, we were at the meeting at the hotel in Berkeley. They wanted democracy now to be at 7 p.m. That's when our program at that time. And we said, okay, we will have it at that time. They played game with us. So our program was canceled, and they were... The management at that time said to one of our members, we had accent as a five-year-old. I am the only member of Kurdish-Iraqi person who's speaking out. If I want to go get a job with the Iraqi-Kurdish government or anywhere else, I could do that very easily. But I'm speaking out in the risk of what's going on, and we are prevented, especially from me, my voice is to be taken out to those people and the politics going on in my land. And that has been very distressing thing. And the second thing that I want to talk to you about unpaid staff, how Labor Collective was banned, so they decreased our hours and our membership. And this election is very rigged. Thank you
very much. Norma Harrison, do you want to speak now? And the last person is Mehmet Bayram. Do you want to speak now, or can you wait?
Yes, please. I'd like to speak.
I just would like to find out if there is a place for a conversation. Yesterday I brought up that we need to be on the ground talking with people who are doing things when they're doing things, and that we don't do that. And I'm wondering if there's a place for a conversation for that to go on so that there's further clarification. I have a book full of, we're running for office. Not running, the capitalist pigs have us running. We're standing for office, we're campaigning, we're candidates offering our services. And as such, I have a book full of 2, 3, 4 events a day where I would be handing out literature if I get there, you know, just choices. The thing is that there's so much going on. The Democrats are meeting tomorrow, the Progressive Democrats, you know. We could talk to a whole lot of people. And maybe there's a way to discuss format for doing that, and whether there's interest in doing it. I mean, national news and so forth and major issues are very important. Talking about pulling in the community, I think, is a matter of us being there when people are doing things, even if it's only that group that listens later on to the, I don't know, rebroadcast. Just not news, okay? And I wonder if there's a discussion possibility that we can have to kind of see that we're going to see if we can flesh out that idea if there's interest.
Thank you. For what it's worth, I think the discussion we just had is very relevant to your point, and I hope there is an opportunity to do that. Mehmet Bayram? And again, I apologize if I mispronounce your
name.
That's
fine. First of all, welcome to California. And speaking in behalf of the Labor Collective and Voices from the Middle East and North Africa program that was also banned, Labor Collective is not the only one that is banned, I'd like to say that I hope you guys don't experience the same ethical problems that KPFA has. Because the ethical problems comes from preaching to the people how Bush is lying and about democracy, but never ever experiencing it at home. That is the ethical problem. So what we have here is people who can do the Middle East program can openly say, we are not gonna pronounce the word imperialism. Or in Labor Collective, they are saying that, you know, you cannot even give proposals. So that the labor can voice their opinions. Or, you know, bringing out other issues like one person deciding who is going to be a member of KPFA unpaid staff in the secrecy of her own home without being accountable to anybody at all. She can change the list, she can put in people, she can take out people, and not one single person can ask her, how did this person end here? Or why did you take this one out? Not one single person in KPFA. This is the ethical problem. And now do you understand why? When people oppose this, saying, why don't you practice what you preach when you publish or broadcast Democracy Now!, those groups are banned from KPFA. All I'm saying is that I hope you don't have the same ethical problem like the programmers who have private businesses on the side and make money hand over fist and then try to prevent others from having time slots in KPFA. Now
Thank
do you understand
much.
Why the ethical problem is there? Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Okay, we're tight on time, so we're going to go straight to Ron Pinchback. Ron, we await your presentation, and the goal was to spend a third of the available time in conversation with you. And for what it's worth, for the board members who are beginning to be worried about schedule, John Amella, Pete suggested to me that he'd be willing to speak tomorrow, and maybe if you would, we'll need to put you guys till tomorrow. Okay, so I don't see any other way. And we will hold a vote on that. I'm not deciding that unilaterally. I'm just giving a heads up.
Ready?
All yours, sir.
All right. First of all, I want to say thank you to the PNB for all the support and encouragement that you've shown WPFW during your tenures. We really, really appreciate your involvement. Also, I'd like to thank Greg, Guma, and Lonnie for their support in helping PFW, maintain what it's currently doing and provide us avenues for improvement. I would have to say that this summer was kind of rough on PFW personnel-wise because we did lose some people who passed away. I want to acknowledge those people.
Wait a second. Can people go outside if they're going to talk? Are you respectful?
Thank you very much. We lost four people within a two-and-a-half-month span. One being Damu Smith, local and national environmental activist. We also lost Dorothy Healy, who is a Pacifica stalwart. Another gentleman by the name of Ray Whitfield, who was a local activist involved in prison reform and trying to help ex-offenders. And one of our longtime jazz aficionados by the name of Al Swales. Those people were very, very valuable to our community and to the station, and I just wanted to acknowledge their passing. As indicated in my report, right now the station is positioning itself for changes in its staffing, operations, and programming. Some of the changes have already occurred. We did eliminate the music director's position. We also eliminated the paid announcer position. The reasons for that is that we wanted to expand our staff, and you know we also have you know finite resources. So we were trying to expand our staff by structuring it in a way that creates greater efficiency. Some of the positions that we'll be bringing online will be part-time positions because, you know, in my observation, some of these positions don't need to be full-time, quite blunt. So that's one of the ways that we're going to be able to do this and do this within budget. With the elimination of those two positions, we were able to bring on, well, we're going to be able to post four additional new positions. Our finances are in good shape. You know, we still continue to operate in the black. We did fall short on our spring pledge drive by approximately $60,000, which is the first time that it happened in quite some time for us. And in fact, for the first time in about 3.5 years. So we did initiate some projects to recoup that money. The development team came up with three fundraisers over the past month and a half to get back some of that money that we've lost. With two of those events under our belt, we were able to generate approximately $58,000 of the $60,000 that we were short. We have another event taking place this weekend and that should put us over the top to recoup the additional money. Let's see, the operations, I'm trying to streamline this report so that we can get to our question and answer period. We have been improving and redesigning one of our production studios for community use. We purchased new computers to go in there, along with providing new computers for some of the key members of our staff. We've invested in a new phone system. The system that we currently, well, that we had been previously using, had been with the station, you know, had been operating at the station for over 7 years. So we've updated that. In the long term, that will save us money in terms of contracts, which call service contracts and such, and at the same time enhance our phone capabilities. We were having some server disruptions. I think national that affected national and some of the national server disruptions affected us. You know, we have put in our budget the monies to purchase a new server should that be necessary. When I left, we were consulting with a firm to refurbish, if possible, the service that we were currently using. That seems to be a possible solution. If that's the case, it would save us approximately $5,000. So I'll have a report on that when I get back. Our new website is scheduled to be launched next week. It's going to require that we, in fact, I'm going to have a different email address. I'll be sending that out to all the board members and such. All of the staff will have to have new email addresses and such. But we will be launching our new website by the end of the week. Also, in our programming areas, I've been meeting with the LSB programming committee to come up with some ideas about ways to improve our programming and to integrate the Pacifica programming initiatives like the Spanish language newscast, the FSRN, and the new elections program. And as I mentioned earlier, we'll be starting a new one-hour news hour starting at 11 p.m., which we're going to promote quite heavily because we will be included in that program, will be FSRN and the new elections program, along with an additional headlines package of local and national, international news that will also be a part of that hour. The Spanish language program, I've been meeting with some of our, with the Latina Media Collective at our station and the other Latin programmers about integrating that material into a one-hour program that we currently have and have had for quite a number of years that we've been able to successfully fundraise around. So we figure that by integrating that material into that program, it gives us a greater chance of being able to fundraise around it. It also gives us some creative opportunity for our local programmers to be involved in that. I was glad to hear from Greg that there will be a translator available at some point very soon so that we can translate some of that material, you know, for our local audience. We feel that's very, very important because there's a big need in our community, particularly in the African American community, to bridge some gaps of understanding between blacks and Latinos. And so that's an important, that's a very, very important to us. Let's see, what else we got here? We're also, or as I mentioned, we are restructuring our staff. In my report, I listed five positions among the six that we'll actually be bringing online. The sixth position would be the program director. That position had already been previously budgeted and what's the word I want to use here, and made part of our overall structure, future structure of the station. The LSB is engaged in searching for that program director. We hope to have that person on board no later than the first of the year, if not sooner. That's just going to depend on how the LSB proceeds in this process. We're also going to be seeking a permanent operations director. The operations person we have on staff now is not permanent. There are an interim position, so we want to make that position permanent, and we're also going to look at some of the other issues surrounding that position. When we had the conversation earlier about technology and such, that's one of the issues that are very important to us because we want to be able to integrate new technologies, on an ongoing basis. So that position is very, very important to that effort. News coordinator will be bringing online once again before the end of the year. Their position will be to coordinate all of our news activity and to train budding journalists to do local, national, international news, and to contribute to all of our public affairs programs as well as our cultural programs. Cultural affairs coordinator is a part-time position. That position somewhat replaces the music director, because what we decided was that the music director position was a little too static. We need more. What our intent is to infuse the public affairs and the cultural aspects of our programming into one, so that our music programs would be enhanced with this new public affairs content. That coordinator will be responsible for helping to make that happen by providing our cultural programmers with a bridge between them and the public affairs department. Volunteer coordinator, WPFW is heavily driven by volunteers. Having someone to manage and train those folks and provide them with orientation is essential. That's the one way we can keep down our costs, our labor costs, is by utilizing volunteers. That's the strategy behind that position. And production and training, that once again, as Rob brought out earlier, about how to improve the current programs that we have, how to help the programs that we'll be bringing online. Those things are going to require someone with production knowledge and the ability to train others with that sort of knowledge. So that's why that position is in our current budget. Essentially, that's where we are right now. Once again, trying to move forward within budget constraints, trying to grow our audience by, you know, bringing in, well, giving new people opportunities, in meeting with the programming committee of the LSB. We have determined some priorities in terms of new programs that we want to bring on online, which is very important. And all of these new programs, by the way, will be utilizing collectives as opposed to giving these opportunities just to individuals. We felt that collectives enhance their ability to be successful. It enhances their creativity. It enhances opportunity. And unfortunately, as you know, with limited schedule, there are plenty of people out there that want shows. I can't even begin to tell you how many program proposals we have. But this is a way of bringing those people in and bringing all that talent in to participate. And, you know, we're looking forward to those opportunities for those folks. So that's our, you know, that's our modus operandi, you know, for the near future. I'm ready to entertain questions.
It's open for discussion of the board. I mean, I'll just ask this one. I'll say one thing. I just think it's great that you guys are using the volunteer model and putting your resources into leveraging the efforts of volunteers. That's been real successful. We're blessed at KPFK to have an excellent volunteer coordinator, and I think it's a real effective use of resources. Mary, Patty, and Ray.
And I think it's really, really, really great and encouraging that you're using collectives. They got, you know, we weren't allowed to use collectives back some 10 years ago. And, of course, how else are a lot of people going to participate?
Exactly.
So that's very encouraging to me, and I'm glad to hear it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Patty.
Thank you. I'm looking on your website here, and I see the workshop you're speaking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Thursday is a $20 donation for the cost for this workshop, Improvement and Self-Healing. And then the next 2 days is $290, $175, or $100 for half a day. And I'm wondering if you could just tell your financial relationship with this. Who is what is it, a split? It's all donated to you. Do these, what's the relationship, first of all?
The relationship is that we will split the proceeds of the workshop, not the lecture. That's why those workshops are priced at the level that they are. Those are... You know, there's a limited number of spaces for those workshops. They will be conducted at the station. We will split the revenue generated from those workshops with the host of those workshops, Dr. Mir Schneider, who's from out this way, from what I understand. The lecture, which took place on Thursday, all of that revenue goes to the station. And I got a report back from my development director that that was very well attended, and that which is very encouraging to us. So, but yes, we will be splitting the revenue from the workshops, but not from the lecture.
And how do you choose these people? Are there other groups or people that would also offer the same,
yes,
you know, thing like this? And
yeah, we've done this before. We've done it with Gary Null. We've done it with other groups. So it's not a new model for us. The reason we chose this particular workshop is because we offered this particular kit. It's an eye care kit that this particular doctor was offering during our spring pledge drive. We got a lot of response on that, a lot of interest. And to be frank with you, we also looked at this as a way to reach our current demographic. Unfortunately, we do, as all the other stations do, have an aging demographic. So issues of eye care and health care and things like that are very, very important to that constituency. That's why we selected this this particular opportunity.
Okay, thank you.
Ray.
Actually, I have two questions, two topics I wanted to broach. One of them was what David just mentioned, specifically your success in attracting people to be volunteers and participate in the station. We know that the Washington area has many problems, you know, economic problems. So how do you deal with young people and adults who are working class and that are poor and unable to volunteer and yet would like to be connected to the station? How do you attract them? And how do you allow them to function within the system? And the other issue seemed to, you alluded to it before, it's relation with the Latinos and Spanish-speaking people in your community. We know there were some issues in the past. I'd like to know, clearly there have been improvement. I'd like to know what the status is and what's happening at the station.
The volunteer, first of all, for the first thing we do when we ask, when we seek volunteers for anything, we ask them to come in and fill out, you know, a little form that gives us some information regarding what they can do, okay? What kind of schedule do you have? Do you have the time? Do you have the expertise? What do you want to do at WPFW? So we try to refine those opportunities based on their schedules. Some can come in at night and help out and get training. Some can come in during the day and get training. So we're trying to keep ourselves flexible to accommodate them. That's really about the only way we can do it, and also offer weekend training when we can. Like you say, there's a lot of people out there with jobs or part-time jobs or whatever who would like to participate. Well, this is the way we allow them to do it. Bear in mind that it may be just for a few hours a week that they volunteer. So it's not, you know, prohibitive to them. They're not required to be there every day or anything like that. They're even allowed to bring their children if that's an issue. So the trick there is just being flexible and understanding that these are volunteers. They're not getting paid. So we need to be as congenial to them as possible. Speaking of the Latino situation, once again, back in New York, we talked about how we were going to form a Latino media collective, which we've done. They're broadcasting right now on Wednesday nights. Very, 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 very good addition to our Latin flavor lineup. They've been doing very, very good work. And some of those members of that collective are also members of the co-op. So, they have an opportunity to be involved in different layers of programming as well. That's working very well for us. We look forward to expanding that. We also would like to present similar opportunities for other ethnicities. Arab Americans as well, Asian Americans. One of the things that I'm going to propose to our LSB and I get back is that we form a youth board. That's something that, you know, we need because, as we all know, we do have a very rapidly aging demographic, and we have to find ways to bring young people into the fold in a constructive manner and in a consistent manner. So those are just some of the ideas that are floating out there.
Rob, then Lydia, Nathan.
Ron, I wanted to add.
Sarge is before. Sure. No, it's you. And then
excuse me. Okay. Ron, I'm on the local station board's management assessment committee, and we did a draft language for the program director. I'd like to know. What papers it ran in, when it ran, and when it closed. Because I remember sending it to you, but I don't remember when the ad ran, and it was announced last week that the position is closed.
First of all, I've stayed out of that process, just so you know. The information went to our business manager, Robert West. We ran it in the African-American, the Afro, okay? We ran it in one of the Latina newspapers. We ran it in one of the gay and lesbian publications, weekly publications. We ran it in the city paper and the Post. And the position, from what I understand, the position, the process closes today, September 30th. So that's the gist of that. We put it in all the, you know, major publications and tried to deal with the other issues as well in terms of reaching out to other ethnicities, you know, for this opportunity.
Okay.
Now, and that, by the way, that material, that information is really available. Be glad to have Robert provide it for you.
No, I was hoping that we'd be notified when that took place.
Okay.
In addition to the Latino Collective was put together and began airing their show when?
Wednesday night.
No, I mean what it went in what year and went?
That happened right after the New York PNB meeting.
Like in May or June?
Yeah.
Okay, and we have a women's collective, Sophie's Parlor.
Correct.
What other collectives do we have at this time?
The program that that Damu Smith left, we're forming a collective for that. We're also forming, our Decipher programming from midnight to 2, which is currently from 11 till midnight. That's a collective of, you know, five groups of individuals. That's our largest collective at this point. And that's what we're trying to do across the grid. So those are the collectives that we currently have in place right now. And as I mentioned, any new programming that we bring on will be with, you know, collectives of individuals, not just single individuals. Except in situations where that may be the only way to do it, but we prefer collectives.
Right. The last thing I just want to mention is that as a member of the programming committee at the local station board, we've been informed by you that you have program schedule changes in mind, but we don't have anything in writing at this point. There have been discussions, and what happened the last time we did this is that a program change was made unilaterally, and it created conflict within the station. Is there any chance that we can get something in writing about what's proposed before it happens this time so that we don't have the same situation?
Yes. In fact, it's my understanding that we have a meeting with the program committee on Monday night. So that will be the first, well, not the first year, because in the meetings we have already discussed some of these changes. What we didn't discuss were timelines. And because the new National Elections Program is now available to us, we have to act rather expeditiously to bring that on. So that timeline and any other changes will be discussed in that meeting Monday night. Programmers will be notified appropriately, beforehand.
Sarv.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Ron, for keeping the station healthy, and I applaud you for your efforts.
I want to say thanks to my staff and to our volunteers.
All of you, yeah. My question is, I think you stated that you have one reporter that covers local public affairs events and things like that.
Right.
Washington, D.C. is a fairly big metropolitan area. And does this person have any kind of mobile van or a transmitter on it that he or she can go from event to event and cover as it needs to be covered?
Yeah, he does, and he does it rather judiciously. You know, no, we don't have a van or anything like that. We do have broadcast capabilities from the Hill. So if he needs to file a report from Capitol Hill, we do have facilities in place there that can be done. But no, he does not have a van or anything like that.
What I meant was the community, there's the other community besides just the Hill.
Exactly.
So, and I think we ought to cover that community, their needs as well. So the second question I had was, whenever we look at any radio station, Pacifica radio station, we look from a strategic point of view. And that strategic point of view is that here's our mission we're coming from. We want public affairs. We want music, art, literature, all kind of cultural education.
Mm-hmm.
And you stated that you let go one of the permanent employees, a director, whatever.
Music director.
What happens in my experience is that, you know, as people get older, they have pluses and minuses. The pluses are that they have a lifetime of accumulated experience that bring with them. That's irreplaceable. It's a value, tremendous value. And when you don't, let's say that you replace them with some younger, it's not that they're bad. They have different energy and they have a different kind of a knowledge and experience and wisdom. So how do you compensate that? This person that you let go, a permanent employee, and replaced with voluntary, perhaps, programmers and things like that. Have you taken that into consideration, that element of it?
Oh, absolutely.
And could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure. One of the beauties of WPFW is that we have quite a number of programmers, and volunteers who are very savvy, who are very, culturally in tuned on a variety of levels. It's not the, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they're younger, okay? We have older people as well who are, very, very in tune to what's happening culturally. But we also need people who are in tune culturally and politically. One of the criticisms that we've received is that, we have too much music. I disagree with that, okay, because those cultural offerings are just as important to our community, and because we're not playing top 40 hits, okay, we're playing stuff that no other radio station will touch. So those offerings become very, very important to our community. That's why our Saturday and Sunday schedule is so heavily laden with music. That's also been why they've been so financially successful for the station for a very long period of time. So what we're trying to do now is to integrate the music, and the politics, on a much grander scale. So that position is not just about music anymore. It's more than that. It's important that the person who's in that position understand the connection between the culture and our global as well as local and national struggles. So that's why we've taken this approach to this. That's why we call it cultural affairs.
Okay. Just one short question here, and then I'll finish. Going back to my first question, where one person is devoted to the local public affairs.
He's a head, local headlines producer.
Local headlines.
Right.
Is there any plan in the works that can make it better coverage of the local community?
Oh, yeah.
So that instead of a little bicycle, maybe a little moped?
We don't have any plan afoot to purchase a vehicle or anything like that. Okay, some members of our LSB have certainly encouraged that. If we can find a way to do that, then we will. Okay, I'm not opposed to it. It's just not something in our budget. when you're talking about, you know, getting a vehicle for the station, you have to talk about insurance and who can drive it and all the other parameters, where you're going to park it. And unfortunately, where we are stationed right now, it's not very, very conducive to parking at any level.
Thank you.
So that's why he rides that bicycle, by the way.
Okay, we've got, Ron, just so you know, I guess you can see the clock better than I can. Yeah. We're going to go as long as you can. We have Lydia, Nathan, Alan, and Teresa on the stack, so maybe that'll wrap it.
Mine is just very quick. When are you planning to incorporate the Spanish, the National Spanish Language Program into the Latino portion of your programming, which I understand that was the plan?
Yes, I hope to start. I hope to begin doing that. Well, to be honest with you, I was hoping to begin doing that this week, but I really need to be present to do that. And so we're gonna start that process 1 week from Monday.
Oh, great! Thanks.
Yeah. And we'll be. And by the way, we'll be sending you copies of that program so that you can examine it for yourselves. We'll be sending that to all the board members.
I should have asked that.
Alan. He is indeed. Nathan. You guys look alike from here.
Oh.
Glasses, tall.
Yeah. we're fluffy. So I'm very glad for the collective sensibilities you've outlined coming from WORT. That's very collective heavy. I can tell you that.
Hang on a sec. We can't hear you over here.
Okay. Sorry. Should I speak up?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that'll probably help.
You got it. So coming from a place where the collective thing works pretty well, it can work very well. And also glad for your stated reliance on volunteers. That is really where our strength is, and giving voice to the most people we can. Because to face it, we don't have a budget to pay everybody. It's about community expression and sharing our passions and our expertises. Also, fairly impressed by the new hires and all the movements going on within a fairly within that tight budget. so there's that. With the Spanish language program, is that the Latin flavor that you're talking about trying to incorporate it into?
Yes, that's been a very successful grid for us for a number of years, and rather than reinvent the wheel, we want to tweak the wheel. So, we want to integrate, that material right into that grid where we already have a built audience.
Yeah.
So, we expect that to be successful for us.
The tweak, the current grid is 1 hour a day across the week, and
Monday
then the Informativo is half of that. Do you expect to then preempt half of the locally produced material?
No. What we're going to do is we're going to be working with the producer of the Spanish language program to we're going to be editing some material. When I say editing, we're going to be editing some of that material into that program, into our Latin flavor program. Some of the reports,
okay,
headlines, things like that. We're also going to try to locate some of the stories that are relevant to the different shows, because for one example, we have a show on, as part of that, we have a show that features music from Brazil. So, we like to be able to take, content, concerning Brazil, and make sure it gets into that particular program, Central America, mm-hmm. Mexico. So, all those different shows, every one of those shows is different, in some shape, form, or fashion. So we like to take that material and put it where it's appropriate.
Sure. Make it relevant to the particular show.
All
I got
right.
you. Do you have
any? And it will still be in Spanish language, by the way.
Right. Do you have any notion of what percentage of the Spanish of Informativo might be clipped out? I'm sure it'll vary day to day, but
I would say at minimum 20%. At minimal 80%.
Okay.
At minimal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Also with the. I can also say, coming from my station as the news facilitator there, that a volunteer-based news department can also be very robust. And so I offer just a word of encouragement that developing volunteers to do news production is also very good.
Thank you. And I just want to add that the the five volunteers that we're training right now to supplement our morning drive time music programs, because we're going to be incorporating more public affairs into that, to that grid as well. You know, these are all people with journalism skills, so they're not just volunteers. These are people that, that come to the table with skills of their own, and you know, and are very, very willing and look you know, forward to participating in this way.
Alan.
Yeah, we'll go back to the Spanish language subject in a moment. It strikes me that, you know, there's Free Speech Radio News, and they have a Washington desk, and there's Vernon doing the headlines. But with what we're talking about, the technical expansion possibilities, it does strike me that, you know, again, Washington, D.C. is the capital of the imperium. I hope there's a way that if we do see this broad expansion of material that flows into Pacifica view from this technological expansion, that WPFW can make facilities available to help with that. Is that something you see as foreseeable?
Oh, absolutely. The station right now, you know, is available, mm-hmm. you know, for, you know, FSRN producers or anyone that wants to come in and produce content, you know, for Pacifica. The station is open for that now. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a computer bank, mm-hmm. you know, for people who want to do just that. I look forward to having our own producers and volunteers contribute material to all of these national initiatives. Let's put it this way: our programs are looking forward, you know, to having that opportunity to take part on the national scene. Mm-hmm. So it's something that we're certainly going to encourage and provide the resources for them to do so.
To the Spanish language, I don't know that I understood what you just said. Are you suggesting that you think that 80% of the show will be broadcast every day?
What we're going to do is try to take about 80% of that show and edit it into and integrate it into our 1 hour Latin flavor strip. Yes.
I do want to say this then, that I hope you can appreciate that in developing a national show, and this national Spanish language show, how very, very instrumental it is for the welfare of that show that it be available to people in Washington, D.C. to listen to the Spanish-speaking community there. Because, again, I mean, it's not just a country, it's an imperium, and you know, the decisions that are made there impact people across the world, and so it's very important for that audience so that they can also then participate in the production of that show.
Yeah, I do agree with that, and I must say this also. As you know, I've been advocating for a bilingual broadcast regarding that show, and one of the reasons for that is because there is a lot of interest in Latin American affairs amongst our general audience. There was a great interview on Democracy Now! The other day. I think it was the president of Guatemala.
I think you mean Evo Morales.
Okay.
The Evo Morales
yes,
one?
Yes. Great interview. Fortunately, it was translated because, you know, he has some great things to say. And the reality is that, you know, all of our listeners, you know, well, the majority of our listeners do not understand Spanish. But they weren't shut out from that conversation because of their lack of language skills. They were able to, you know, hear what he had to say, you know, in that medium. So that's why it was important to us that that we try to incorporate translation into some of this, because it is important for the various communities in Washington to have a better understanding of what's taking place, you know, in Latin America. And that's the only way they can do that.
Lydia's reaching for the mic, so I'm going to recognize her, and Rip may have a comment.
I just want to say that every single media study will absolutely establish that bilingual media does not work. You consistently lose your audience.
There are, you know, if you pepper it on, like on this occasion where you do a translation, this does not preclude your English-speaking Latino block programmers from using some of the material and speaking to it in English, of course, translating it. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, of course, we discuss is that we can have daily synopsis of this in English on your websites as well. But you absolutely cannot do the bilingual. There is another model, which is intralingual, but that would be if you had a talk show and mm-hmm. people call in Spanish, let them speak in Spanish if it's Spanish. The other thing that most people don't realize, just like on this board, I, for example, and I think can say I'm fluent in English, I only look at and listen to the Spanish news on television, for example, mm-hmm. because that's where I get my news regarding Latin America. And like myself, there are many, many people also who are not Latino, like Dave Adelson, Don White, Alan Minsky, all of whom are Spanish-speaking, and we have found that a large audience of those Spanish-language stations in Los Angeles, many of them are bilingual and or are not of Latino origin, but are very interested in Latin America, and so they tune in. So don't think that it's just the Latino market that you're addressing, but every single, I'm telling you, every media study that I have ever seen speaks against bilingual programming.
Thank you.
Ron, I'm going to take a big chance as a
I know, have to leave just, shortly.
30 seconds. As a white man, I'm going to take a big chance right now on what I'm about to say. But if I asked you whether a program that was devoted to issues of the African American community could be adjusted to suit the listening needs of the white community, and that was important so that the white community would not feel alienated by issues or ways of speaking that were directly speaking to that African-American community, I'm wondering what your visceral reaction to that statement would be.
If African-Americans spoke a different language, then by all means, you know, I would be saying the same thing. You know, that's just not the case. A lot of African-Americans, you know, have a lot of misconceptions about what's happening in Latin America and in the Latino community. So we want to use the Spanish language newscast along with our own Latin flavor to try to bridge that gap. That's, you know, it's not that we don't think it's unimportant. Mm-hmm. It's just that we also know that, you know, there are issues there. You know, and you know, we're trying to foster some dialogue and some understanding.
Well, I did take a chance. I hope I didn't offend anyone.
Yes,
I know you have to get to your plane right now, and we don't want to have you sit in the airport all night. So,
well, folks, I do apologize for this. I was basing my departure on the on the schedule.
Well,
I
should have known better. There was your first mistake.
I should have known better.
There's your first mistake. Yeah. Next time, leave us a couple hours of slack on the other.
Done deal.
In departing, you know, I hope that PodSafe Archive, it seems to me in your signal area, if we get that license worked out, you guys could be producing a lot of music for PodSafe Archive. I hope you're open to that.
Yeah, I hope so, too, because that is a big question for us.
Travel well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pacifica National.
Thank you very much. We're going to go back to public comment, and then we're going to go to the KPFA focus station. Unless somebody, folks among the public comment, if you'd like to speak after the KPFA presentation, you're welcome to do that. So we're going to call on the list again, and whoever would like to speak before that presentation can speak now. And if you'd like to speak after instead, after Lemlem and the rest of it, that'll be possible too. Although we will certainly have to break that presentation in half because we have dinner time certain at 7. So, you may want to go now. First person is Kathy. I'll wait till the board quiets down a little. We're waiting for public comment as soon as the board can get ready. Kathy, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Is now a good time for you? Deb Shafto, will you be the clock? It's 2 minutes for these comments.
Yes. Okay. I basically just wanted to...
Hold on a second. You can't be heard yet. You need to speak louder. He needs to pot you up, and we need to be less loud.